Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 596 for comics originally released on January 9th, 2019. Now, starting us off in DC is Young Justice number 1. Did you read the Young Justice series by Peter David?
No, I did not.
Okay, so did you watch the Young Justice cartoon?
No, I'm a total... I'm useless to you tonight.
No, both is fine. I was just kind of curious what kind of background you had on this. You're coming at it new.
Yeah, so I'm completely new to this, reading Young Justice for the first time.
Okay. I had read the original Young Justice series. I thought that was a lot of fun, really good. I enjoyed the Young Justice cartoon, which was almost more of a Junior Justice League or kind of a Teen Titans take than a Young Justice, because they were a little bit older than the Young Justice characters typically were.
Okay.
But I was excited about this and curious what Bendis's take was going to be on it.
Yeah, my first question for you, because I don't have the background, are these the same characters that Peter David wrote, or different characters?
Some of them, yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Specifically, the Superboy, Wonder Girl, Impulse, and Robin.
Okay, gotcha.
But two of the characters of Teen Lantern and Ginny Hex are new.
Ah.
Amethyst, it's a newish version of a long-standing character. She originated in Amethyst's Princess of the Gem World maxi series. It was a 12-issue series in 1983, which then got an annual and went to an ongoing for about 16 issues or so, you know, in the mid-80s.
Okay. And some of these characters I really enjoyed. Others, they kind of, you know, grated and... I didn't like reading them as a character.
Well, this is one of those things that is indicative of the direction they're heading at DC, because many of these characters haven't been seen for a while, and I'd have to do a little digging to find out when the last time we saw some of them were. I think it would have been maybe around the time of the start of the New 52 when we got a Teen Titans series that we might have gotten. I'm trying to think if that's when we had last gotten this Connor Kent or a Connor Kent, Cassie Sandsmark, Wonder Girl, and if we had gotten Impulse there, or if that predated the New 52. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, what's weird is there's so many different iterations of these young characters. You know, you have like the Young Flash here, but then you also have, the Teen Titans Young Flash, and you have Damian over in Teen Titans, and you have the other Young Robin here. It seems like there's multiples of a lot of these young characters.
Not just the young characters, but they're sidekicks of characters that also have different variations on them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, at one point, you could have fielded a Justice League team as kind of the baseline of a Superman, a Batman, a Flash, and that kind of stuff. You could have done a Justice Society version with even older characters. You could do a younger version with the Titans, an even younger version with the Teen Titans, you know, so there was at least kind of four levels of the legacy hierarchy at DC to be had.
That's a lot.
It is, but in cutting back of it, they kind of got rid of a ton of characters, and it feels like to bring these characters back, they kind of had to push many of the Titans out of the picture.
Which is what they've been doing, pushing the Titans out, and they're bringing these guys back.
Absolutely.
And how does that sit with you?
Mixed feelings, because I like these characters. I'm glad to have these characters back. But I think what they've done with Nightwing, with the Wally West Flash, the classic version, not the new, and some of those other characters, not cool.
Yeah, I would agree. And actually, having no, you know, background in a lot of these DC characters, I like the ones that they're killing off more than some of these. The characters that I kind of liked in this book, I liked Ginny Hex. Mm-hmm. I know she's brand new, but I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, bringing an old West character, Jonah Hex, you know, knockoff or kid. I don't know what she is.
Probably granddaughter, great-granddaughter, great-great-granddaughter. Yeah. Somehow related
to that. She's still in the old West. And then I liked, of course, the Robin character. I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other one that I really liked? Oh, the Wonder Woman character. I'm trying to remember her name.
Wonder Girl.
I liked her. Whereas, like, the Flash character, oh my gosh, his word balloons, the way he was, it was like ADD, I'm on crack cocaine, I don't know what's going on. He was just so grating on me. I was like, oh.
But that's absolutely in pulls. He acts and then maybe thinks.
Okay, so that's him. All right. So that's how he is. And I was just like, oh, this guy's so irritating.
The part that really kind of bugged me while I was reading this, and again, I really did enjoy this issue a lot, but bringing back the Connor Kent Superboy is kind of odd because we've got the John Kent Superboy who seems kind of popular.
Yeah. I like John.
Yeah, I do too, but can the two coexist?
Yeah, because when I first saw this, I wasn't looking at, you know, of course it's Connor Kent. Everyone's asking through the whole issue, where's Superman? You know, the invasion that was going on. But I saw him, I was like, why does John have facial hair? What happened? Did he age? I was like, oh, wait a minute, Connor. Okay, gotcha.
Exactly. There's that conflicting, who are we dealing with? Which continuity are we in?
Yeah, so my first time looking at this guy, I'm like, why is he so much older? Where'd he get facial hair? I like the little kid.
But it was, you know, I was struggling as I was reading this. It's like, when was the last time we saw this Wonder Girl? You know, this Robin actually feels a little younger than the Tim Drake we'd been seeing in Detective and stuff.
Yeah.
And even he was kicked off to the side for a while. Again, I don't clearly remember the last time we saw this Superboy. And I'm kind of confused, and maybe I just need to do a little rereading, as to how Impulse can even kind of exist in this setup.
Yeah.
I don't remember if we'd seen him early in that original Teen Titans run of the New 52 or not.
Okay.
But it's been a number of years since that came out, like 6 or 7. And again, with the double shipping they've done and the Rebirth era and stuff like that, the continuity is kind of confusing and I'm unclear on the backstory of these characters.
Me too. And that new character, the Green Lantern, what is it, Little Lantern or Teen Lantern?
Teen Lantern.
Yeah, I called it Little Lantern. Okay, I went to the front cover because I was looking at, clearly there's a girl there. But when I was reading the issue, I don't remember seeing the girl. I just see the constructs in it talking. So at first when I was reading this, you know, I didn't pay attention to the cover that much. The first read through, I was like, is this thing a human or is it just a walking, talking construct? I was like, where is this character? And then I was like, oh, yeah, there she is on the cover. But it's weird. They don't really show her as a character. They just show the constructs talking.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because I hadn't really noticed that. It was clear there was a Green Lantern, in this case a Teen Lantern, in play. But you're right. We never actually see her.
Yeah, I was confused because I didn't. I was like looking at it going, okay, is this the first time we're having a lantern where it's not a person because I never see her? And then I went to the front cover and I was like, oh, there is a human. There it is. So that was just confusing for me. I was like, why would they not show her that? Is that a miss? Did something get covered up? I don't know.
Or is she inside the constructs and they
maybe
just didn't get to it? Yeah.
Maybe like that mutant thing that we've been reading, Armor, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Similar to that. So that could be her thing. Maybe she's inside there.
There was some stuff I was reading, and I forget where. It may have been online somewhere or whatever, but it implied aspects of that character that were not actually established in this issue.
Okay.
But given that we don't actually, you know, see the character this issue, literally, that's not hard.
Yeah. And for me, what's funny is the best part of this issue, you know, you kind of have, this is kind of the putting the band together, the typical thing. So everyone's kind of rolled out character by character as a fight goes on with these, the people from Gem World, which I did some research back in the 80s. There was a Gem World.
That was the Amethyst title I was talking about.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Amethyst. Okay. My bad. I forgot what I was going with that. But.
Sorry.
Oh, the most interesting thing that I was doing when I got to that first page, it looked like Bendis was building up to something really big because they start talking about the Earth has survived 7 of these crises that have happened. And, you know, every time it's affecting us. And I was like, huh, this is playing into something really big, kind of cool. But then it ended up being just some kind of botched invasion where they were looking for Superman to take on Superman.
I don't know, because it goes to a comment you had made a week or two back about maybe they're leading up to another reboot.
That's what I was wondering when I read this page. I was like, wow, this seems very rebooty, like they're building up to something. But then they did the invasion, but maybe they're throwing us off. But this one page got me excited for the future a little bit about, I wonder if there's something bigger brewing here.
They mentioned 7 crises that have happened. And I would clearly count Crisis on Infinite Earths, Zero Hour, which was a crisis in time, Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis. I think it's fair to definitely include Flashpoint, although that was not a typical crisis. I've heard people suggest maybe Convergence and then maybe Metal, but that seems like a stretch.
Okay, so those might be the seven they're referring to. I have no clue.
But that's my point. Neither did I, and I think I'm well steeped on DC's continuity.
Okay, so that first page hooked me, but then they didn't talk about it anymore. And actually, the characters that are kind of here, you know, they talk about Gemworld. We didn't really see them further on, so I think this could be buildings to something bigger, possibly, or that maybe that big, almost rebootish thing, or something big happening, maybe a big event happening this summer.
Yeah, could be. And there's talk of Amethyst getting her own series.
Ah.
So maybe as a back issue spotlight, I may do with somebody if they're interested, Amethyst Princess of the Gem World.
Ah, there you go.
But there's a question of when I do that and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
When we first get to Metropolis.
Okay.
And we're getting introduced to Ginny Hex.
Yes.
You'd mentioned, how did you phrase it, how she comes from like the Old West or whatever?
Yeah, she looks like a Western character type.
Absolutely a Western character. But she says she rode her truck, such as it is, all the way from Dripping Springs, Texas.
Yeah.
That's like less than a 20-mile drive from where I'm sitting right now.
Oh, really? So that's a real place. I thought it was just made up.
It's literally just on the outskirts of Austin. I drive through it as I head to Comic-Con every year.
So this should be your new favorite character. She's real close to your stomping grounds.
Well, it was. Now she's in Metropolis. Envy her.
That's
that,
true.
I think. But the other thing that was interesting is later in the issue, we get a look at what's in the back of that pickup.
Yes.
And not a very good look, which was a little disappointing, but it looks like maybe like a mother box and other kind of DC Universe-ish artifacts.
Yes, I was trying to figure out what that was myself.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to Bendis kind of playing with these toys and clarifying like what the seven crises are. What all does Ginny have? How is she related to Jonah? Because presumably she's somehow related to Jonah Hex. And just where he's going with this. Overall, I found this a lot of fun. While I was a little perplexed about how things fit into continuity, but that's not a fault of this issue. It's a fault of DC having reworked their continuity so many times, I've lost track.
Yeah, and with you losing track of continuity, that's a big thing. With me, I'm coming into it, I'm just taking it, this is the way it is. So it's just a different perspective because I don't have that long history. But yeah, I can see how it could be confusing. So I enjoyed the opening of this. I thought it was amazing. The little introduction at the end, it's like we knew he was coming, but I guess he's been gone for a long time, so I guess that's why it was like a big surprise. Some of the characters I really liked, a few of them I really, you know, they kind of irritated me a little bit, grated me on my nerves a little bit. But overall, I thought it was a solid issue. The only, you know, gripe or complaint I would have is I was surprised that I never saw the character, the Teen Lantern, other than on the cover. Because I was confused. I was like going online. People were talking in the spoiler section on the Slack channel. I saw that. I was like, I wonder if this is a person. Or is it just a thing?
Literally, until you mentioned that, I hadn't even noticed that we'd never actually seen her.
Yeah, and that's my only gripe. It's not big. It's probably something where it'll be explained next issue that she's inside the construct, and that's why we don't see her.
Or
you know,
some
whatever.
Other reveal.
Exactly.
It's funny that they introduced the character without actually introducing the character.
Yeah, exactly. Teen Lantern. I was like, oh, it's just a big green thing. Huh, it looks like a robot.
The question is she an actual Green Lantern, or how did she get this, or, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, so there's more to come, for sure.
Yeah. Overall, again, I really enjoyed this. I think these are some fun characters. Bendis, I think, does well with younger characters and team groups and stuff.
I would agree.
And this did not feel decompressed?
No, it didn't. You know, you get so much Bendis stuff where he could have dragged out this fight with the Gemworld people into a 6-issue trade, you know?
Yeah.
And luckily, it's kind of like a boom, here it is, and it happens. And I was impressed that he crammed a lot of information in here.
Yeah, I thought it was, again, good, a lot of fun. I'm going to go with an A- on this one.
Ah, you really liked it.
Yeah.
Me, I liked it. I was irritated by a few of the characters, and I was kind of, what's going on with this one that I never saw? So I went with a solid B. I liked it, didn't love it.
Okay, I can understand that. And again, it seemed like Impulse was the main one that didn't work for you.
Yeah, that was the main one, Impulse. It was just like, oh. And then the teen lantern,
okay.
I was just like, why is this person here? Is it a person? I didn't know if it was a human. So those were the two things that were just kind of like, what's going on here? You know, I don't know. But other than that, you know, if they would have explained that, and if he wasn't so annoying to me, it probably would have been in the A-B+ range.
I can see that. I think for me, part of what makes Impulse unique, particularly among the speedsters, is his almost hyperactivity and attention deficit.
Ah, and you know, I should show the guy a little more love. I have ADD myself. So I've never been diagnosed with it, but I'm sure, and everyone who's met me, they're like, yeah, you have ADD.
Most of our country has it.
Yeah, it's true.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Yeah, that sounds good.
This is Avengers number 12.
Yes.
Now, I've had a little bit of mixed feelings on this volume of Avengers. Some issues have worked better for me than others. I don't, by and large, consider it kind of one of those seminal runs yet, but it's early in the run. I really thought this was probably the best issue, or one of the better issues they've done of this run, you know, all 12 issues. And it's a very kind of different issue because it's really kind of the gathering of the support staff for this new Avengers era.
Exactly. Jason Aaron has been building this epic tapestry over several issues. It's taken him a while because he's building a lot of stuff in here. I mean, we're seeing glimpses of the Squadron Supreme in the last issue. Now we're seeing a building of, I forget what they're called, but the intelligence of the Wakanda people.
The Agents of Wakanda, yeah.
Agents of Wakanda. So he's building all these things, and now we're hearing about, you know, vampire armies, and it's building up to this War of Rome. So he's building a lot in here with, I loved how this whole thing opened originally with the first issue with the Sentinels and all that, and now they're inside of a Sentinel, the headquarters is. But yeah, it's building up something really big, and this one was a really cool issue. I had one question. I don't remember Jarvis being that hefty. Do you?
It felt like he's put on some weight since he retired.
Yeah, I looked at him, I was like, he's a large man, and all of a sudden, I don't remember him looking like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and maybe I'm just misremembering too, but he does seem like he's not in as good a shape as he used to be. But I like him being there and kind of having an advisory capacity into, you know, who Black Panther was picking for the support staff.
That was really cool. A tip of the hat to the guy who's been there in the support staff all along. And what do you think of these Agents of Wakanda, the team that is getting put together, and the reason behind why?
I thought it was a very kind of eclectic group.
Yes.
Having, you know, Okio, or however you pronounce her name, is the leader of the group. Okay, that's fine. Getting Gorilla Man as, the chief of security.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming, but cool, interesting. Kazar.
Kazar was cool.
seemed kind of unexpected, and particularly the mission he was sent on, I'm like, that sounds cool, doesn't make any sense. But okay.
That's the thing. I was like, him doing that didn't make sense, but I love Kazar.
Yeah. Getting the original Wasp here in kind of an unknown capacity, kind of cool.
Yep. We have Gru.
Yeah, Gru was one of the ones that...
Brew, not Gru.
Brew, yeah, yeah. Because he's a brood or whatever who's been hanging... A mutant brood who's been hanging with the X-Men and stuff. So pullings from some of the X characters, both with him and with Dr. Nemesis, I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so I like the team. And basically, Black Panther, because they're agents of Wakanda, has kind of taken upon himself with stuff that happened in the last issue, with issue 11 and here, where he's almost working outside the Avengers, building his own intelligentsia, you know? And
oh, absolutely.
And he's going to the meetings with the Avengers, and he knows more than they do. And earlier than they do. And I don't think it's sitting very well with the Avengers members.
But they're used to having S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff like that provide them the intelligence. And since they don't have that, he's, you know, Black Panther's building his own network.
Which is a really cool concept. So that was something I'm really starting to enjoy this.
It was cool, but I was curious why some of them were picked.
Yeah, me too.
John Jameson, the Man-Wolf, cool, interesting, potentially useful with the upcoming Vampire War, but again,
very odd.
Yeah, why was he picked? American Eagle was another one that seemed a little out of the blue. I may have as many issues with him in it that are like Marvel handbooks as actual stories.
Yeah, I don't remember, you know, my youth reading much about American Eagle. If I read anything, who knows?
My point is, he hasn't been used a whole lot.
Oh, no.
Like, but, ever.
Welcome Navajo Super Cop.
Yeah. Fat Cobra from the Iron Fist group of characters. Agent Solomon from Thor and stuff. He's reaching across the board. The one that seemed the oddest choice was Odin as the Avengers chief of exposition.
I thought that was so weird too. I was just like, you know, basically the king of Asgard is, that's kind of weird.
He literally spends, it seems like, a page or two just pontificating almost.
With the Black Panther, you know, like they're best buddies and they, you know, friends that hang out, which I just don't, that's not very Odin-esque, I would say.
Yeah, they're giving him a new status quo, I guess.
Because of the million BC Avengers, I think. That's what they're going to. Yeah.
I just, I don't know where they're going with that. And he was such a stop the story for some exposition that it bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, that was a weird part. But that being said, I know Jason Aaron he's going somewhere with the 1 million BC. Was it 1 million BC Avengers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 1 million BC Avengers and Odin was there and the Black Panther force, not the Black Panther per se, who has the power now. But him putting him in there and them talking here, it's got to play a bigger thing with this War of the Realms, so that he must have to be there for the story that's coming this summer.
Clearly, there's a bigger picture at work here, and I'm curious how it'll play out.
Me too.
But I kind of left this issue thinking this was a cool gathering of the team, sort of an issue, and I'd be game for the occasional issue focusing on these characters.
Oh yeah, me too. What did you like the big reveal at the end or twist?
I'll be honest, where they're going for what seems to be the lead in for the Avengers into the War of the Realms or whatever, I'm not horribly excited about.
Okay, gotcha.
But if it's good, sure.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it because I haven't seen that character in a while, so I think it'll be cool to read it. But yeah, the topic probably isn't up your alley. I can understand that. But it's kind of weird. He's Jason Aaron's bringing a lot of things out here, and he's building something big because of the number of characters. So he's building this intelligentsia force. He has the Agents of Wakanda. He has people that are loyal to him. There's the separate Avengers. Then we're also having, you know, a test run in the last issue for the Squadron Supreme, you know, attacking things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just very curious. It hasn't been brought together yet, but it's 12 issues, and I can feel it coming to a culmination. I feel it coming.
I can certainly see it building.
Yes.
But I'm waiting for it to kind of pull together and such. The run of Avengers this reminds me the most of, even though it's wildly different, would probably be like the Mark Gruenwald era when Mark Gruenwald was working on Quasar and a couple other titles. But around that time, I forget if he actually wrote the Avengers or if he was editing it or if he was just tangentially involved. But a lot of characters that were just otherwise, you know, relegated to comic book limbo were getting pulled out and used, dusted off, and hey, you know, there's this character. Let's see if we can do something with them.
Yeah, I see that happening here, yeah.
Because, I mean, a lot of these, not so much with, like, Agent Solomon, who'd been used fairly recently over in Thor and stuff, but, like, American Eagle, Dr. Nemesis, Fat Cobra, Kazar, Gorilla Man, we haven't seen a whole lot of them lately.
Yeah, and they're very obscure characters, you know. Here and there, they pop up every few years, you know, if that.
So bringing them back and doing some stuff with them, I thought was cool. How they interact with the regular Avengers, how long they last, how much we see of them, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fun.
Me too. And one thing, just a shout out to you being a programmer. You know, it was kind of funny when they introduced Brew and they were showing them in the head of the Sentinel and they basically, hey, our computers tap into the nervous center and now we have more processing power than, you know, than God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you'd appreciate that. That was hilarious.
Just waiting for him to have to chase Tony Stark out or something.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
It was funny.
Again, I like how they pull obscure characters and stuff and from different corners of the Marvel Universe, because I think it allows for some interactions that we just haven't seen before.
Yeah, I would agree. Hopefully we get to know some of these characters better and maybe they'll be utilized more. I almost feel like after this, there could be a spinoff of like almost like an Agents of Atlas type thing again,
mm-hmm.
Which I'd be down for. I'd read it depending on the writer and how they do with it, you know, but it seems like that's being built right now. So I'm okay with that. And I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for the future event. Not the best issue of Avengers I've ever read, but solid.
I would agree with that. I've read better. It's a good, again, pull the team together kind of an issue. But as far as the Avengers proper go, it did feel like they kind of paused the series for an issue for this.
Yeah, I would agree. Because I was waiting. I was like, oh, that big thing with number 11, introduction of here they are. And then that was just dropped and went into this.
Was that 11 or was that 10?
I think it was 11 when they showed the squadron at the end.
I was thinking it was 10. I don't remember. Either way.
But either way, they just kind of didn't go anywhere with that. I was like, it's coming back. I know it is.
But frankly, I was okay with them kind of pausing what they'd been doing with the mainline Avengers for this, because I enjoyed this more than kind of some of that. So
yeah, I can respect that. I'm so interested to see the conflict that is brewing and coming between Black Panther and the old Avengers proper. And you feel it coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, again, they're building to something and it looks like it could be a really cool something when they get there.
I agree.
For me, I'm going to go with a solid B on this.
Okay. I liked it a little bit more than you. I went with a B+. Good read.
Cool. Shall we move over to our other book?
Sounds good.
This is Criminal Number 1 from Image Comics. It's done by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. I have not actually read Criminal before.
Well, just to let you know, I have not read Criminal either, although I own every bit of Criminal, even the Savage Sword magazine. I bought them all from Eric, I think it was like around March last year, and so they're in my stack of stuff to read, but I have not read it yet.
Now, I did read Sleeper and Sleeper 2 by the same creative team.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And this was a double-sized issue for the $3.99 price point, so we get a fair amount of story.
Yes. A lot of story.
I almost want to say this is like a slice of life about a criminal kind of a thing, although it probably doesn't do it justice as to the basic concept. There was a little bit of flipping back and forth in time, I think, this was just setting it back in 1988, maybe. We start with a kid breaking into some guy's house.
Yes.
And at first I'm like, is this the grandson of the kid? Is he just playing on the old man's faulty memory? Is he not? By the time I'm convinced, I guess he is the grandkid. It turns out he isn't. And I'm like, the story's playing fair. The storyteller's playing fair. But it did make me kind of start to question how much I could trust of what I thought I was reading.
Exactly. Brubaker does that sometimes.
Yeah, and he does it well. I mean,
he does it very well, yeah.
He had me questioning it before kind of telling me I was wrong. So I guess I appreciated that. But this was very much kind of the life history of a criminal or two. And if you're into that kind of a thing, it works. But it's not the sort of story that tends to land on my reading list.
Gotcha. So regardless of if this is an amazing read, it's not something that you gravitate towards.
It would need to be a really amazing read for it to get onto my pull list, and it was a good read.
Not amazing for you.
Not one that I felt, geez, I should go pick up all the back stuff or something.
Okay. Well, with me, I've read Brubaker stuff, and you have too, of course. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I bought all the Criminal stuff, but Criminal I have not read. But just to give you when I was like coming up with my score, I was thinking back, and the last thing that he wrote was Kill or Be Killed. Did you read that, or did we review that? I can't remember.
If I read it, I've forgotten about it. I don't think
maybe
we did
review it. That was in 2016 account, so that maybe with Drew, who knows. But Kill or Be Killed for me was a little bit better read than this. Now, this one was not bad, but I don't know. I found it a little more captivating than the slice of life with the criminals type thing, but I really enjoyed this read. So it's weird. I enjoyed both of them, but I would put Kill or Be Killed a notch above this one.
I can understand that. Again, I thought this was a good read, but nothing I, again, felt compelled to add to my list.
I can see that. Me, I'm in for the long haul because I do enjoy this type of stuff. And I mean, it's a little bit darker, and he writes with a twist, and he always keeps you guessing. And I like having the twist in there, and you know, you think you have it figured out, and then you don't really have it figured out. So he does play with the readers a lot. Mm-hmm. But that's the same way when I read Why the Last Man with Brian K. Vaughan, he put twists in there and, you know, cliffhangers all along that you're going, oh, wow, whoa, I didn't see that coming. And so that it's the same type of thing, but very different, if that makes sense. But I really like Brubaker. But one thing I can say, if you've read a lot of his stuff and a lot of his crime books, you'll see similar things come up all the time. And I imagine that's true of anyone. So it's weird that I've read his stories in the past, and I feel like this felt very familiar to me, like I'm reading a story that I've already read, but it's different, if that makes sense.
No, I can. It's got a familiar vibe to it and hitting some similar notes that you've seen before.
Exactly. That's what it was. It's like reading. It's like, man, I feel like I've read this story, but I haven't read this story. It's just weird that way.
And he's Brubaker's a great writer. I think the art here is good. More of a gray tone, black and white kind of a thing than I tend to care for sometimes.
Yeah.
And again, it's about, you know, criminals and stuff like that. and at a very kind of street level sort of a thing, i.e. no superpowers, etc., no sci-fi, whatever, and not applicable, not appropriate for this, and that's fine. This is the kind of thing that, were it a TV show, I probably wouldn't have checked out either.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, this is basically organized crime and the families of organized crime and how their lives are impacted by the way they chose to live. And it's kind of cool. You could start to feel bad for characters and then you don't. So there's no hero, so the heroes are anti-heroes, you know, so it's weird. But this type of reading, this type of material, for whatever reason, tends to hook me and I tend to stay around. This is not the best Brubaker I've read, but it's very good.
No, definitely it's good. And when I was saying it was black and white, I was thinking mainly of like the flashback stuff. There are other things where they've clearly got color. But like when they're going through and talking about the backstory about the bank heist and stuff like that, it's almost like a Red Scale kind of a page of art and stuff.
Yes, it is.
And entirely told in captions.
Yes. Yes.
So the voiceover narration, while appropriate for the genre, doesn't exactly pull me in, but I can totally see why somebody would read this and really enjoy it, particularly if they're into the genre.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what's weird is I wouldn't say I'm like, I like hard case crimes. I know you like that too, from Titan Books. And so I like crime type stuff when it's done well. That hard case is very different than this. I'd say Brubaker takes a little more realistic and darker version. It takes a little darker. It just feels darker. It's the art, the way, the things that happen. It just feels a little bit darker than the hard case crimes, I would say.
I would agree with that. And for me, the types of crime stories I really enjoy are either a good mystery or like a good heist story.
Yeah. One thing that I do notice, a lot of the people who write crime, and I think it's because technology kind of ruins crime, you know, DNA testing and all that stuff. It tends to almost always take place in the 70s, 80s. They always have to take it back.
Well, even if it's not DNA testing, it's, you know, cell phones, computers, stuff like that.
Exactly. It kind of ruins the story. So they tend to always gravitate back to this, you know, the old times, the 60s, 70s, 80s, and maybe the 90s. But even then, you don't see too many of them in the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of certain storytelling things just don't work these days.
I would agree. I would agree. Technology ruins these types of stories.
Yeah. I did like the text piece at the back that was starting to go over the history of the series and such.
Yes. You like that?
I thought it was good that they did that. It gave me a sense of kind of, you know, the backstory and the history of how they put all this together and such.
Exactly. It's kind of cool. At the back of almost every one of their comics, Brubaker, he has some type of prose piece. This one, it was, you know, them talking about the series and stuff. But sometimes he'll even take writers and have them put some kind of script in there, or, you know, different things back there that you can read, just some prose. Because he's very much, I would assume, a fan of novels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably his preference, although he writes comics pretty darn well.
yeah, he does.
Yeah, so I would love to see him, even though I don't ever think we're going to see it anytime soon, unless something dramatic happens. I would love to see Brubaker go back and write some either Marvel or DC again. You know, he had an amazing run over at Captain America, and I would just love to see that again.
What would be fun for somebody like him to do, and there's a few other writers I think that would be fun to see this. Rucka is another one. I would like to see them do essentially a heist or a crime type book set in the Marvel or DC universe where regular Joes are trying to actually do that bank robbery that you just really can't do when you've got the Flash or Superman or whatever running around. How do they deal with those challenges? Do they just give up? Do they try it anyway? You know, whatever.
They have to be smarter than the superheroes because they can't, definitely are underpowered.
Absolutely.
When they're dealing with them. That could be a really cool book. And I don't know if they'll ever do it, but I would read it. I would be sold.
And particularly if you did that, say, in Gotham City, where Batman, okay, that's you can deal with Batman much more than, say, The Flash or Superman or Green Lantern or whatever. But it comes down to, do you have a good plan? And if you've got somebody who, these guys don't have the colorful, you know, leader like the Riddler, the Joker, or any of those types. They're just kind of that small little crime group trying to make it, you know, as best they can.
Yeah. Yeah, really. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, even though people think crime pays, it kind of tells you the old cliche, crime really doesn't pay. And do these people really live an extravagant life? You know, here it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I really like I said, I enjoyed it. I'm in for the long haul. I kind of figured reading this and the subject matter and how he writes, I figured this wouldn't be something that you would stick around for, not because it's bad, just because it's not for you.
Exactly, exactly. I think this is very well done, but not something I need to spend my time reading, but it is something, if people like this genre and this sort of stuff, I would recommend.
Cool. So, with that being said, what kind of score do you give something that is not really meant for you, but you're reading it and you know it's well done? What do you do?
For this, I went with a solid B.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I mean, it held my interest. I was entertained by it. It was certainly very professionally and well done. There are other people that would get a lot more out of this than I did if they're into the genre, have more backstory, have read Criminal before, or whatever.
Yeah. Me, I, you know, if I wouldn't have read Kill or Be Killed probably 6 months ago, I probably would have given it an A-. I went with a B+ because I thought Kill or Be Killed, the art was better, and the story, it hooked me a little bit more than this one. But this is very entertaining. If you're a Brubaker fan, you got to go pick it up.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm always happy to see the big names come out when they have a new thing coming out. Actually, one of the things I'm super excited for is Lazarus is coming back. It was in the previews this month.
I'm looking forward to that too. Rucka always does a great job on the writing.
Yeah, do you read Lazarus or no?
Yes, I've read the whole thing.
Oh, okay. I love it. I think that's one of my favorite comics. I just, you know, month in, month out, I used to love that thing, and I was so disappointed when it went away. And it seemed like it took forever for this first big quarterly or whatever it's going to be called, you know, graphic novel thing's going to be coming out.
It didn't feel that long to me, but I had enough other stuff to read in the meanwhile that maybe that was part of it.
That's true. And now your shipments are a little bit smaller, so you should be able to keep up now.
Other than traveling and stuff, sure.
Oh, yeah, you're going on vacation. Are you bringing your comics with you?
No.
You're not bringing a backpack full.
If I can grab maybe a review copy or something like that, you know, I'll try to do that maybe. But, you know, I don't bring like a short box of comics with me when I travel.
Yeah, probably the best. And no big omnibus to put in the back in the suitcase either.
They're too heavy. And particularly with comics, you'd have to get like an omnibus to actually get close to the weight to entertainment time ratio that makes it worth traveling with.
Yeah, I remember I tried bringing comics one time and they all got all bent up somewhere along the way. I was like, I'll never do that again. So I do read some stuff digitally every now and then, but what I've gone to is when I go on vacation, my wife and I literally will bring books, you know, just novel books. I'll read those. You know, you can pack a lot more in. It takes a lot more time and just enjoy the trip itself.
Yeah. Well, and my sister's going with me, as are our parents and stuff, so that'll cut in a little to my entertainment time in terms of reading and such. But on the last trip, like to Japan, my sister and I both took our Kindles that were fully loaded, and we got through a number of like the Lost Fleet books and some stuff like that.
Ah, okay, cool.
So, well, we're going to take more of those on the Kindles and maybe get some reading and maybe record an episode or two on the trip.
Cool. Well, at the time of this recording, I think like a couple days ago, the Year in Spotlight came out.
Yep.
Yeah. And since then, the Slack channel has gone gangbusters today. We have new members joining the Slack channel, people posting their favorites. So it was really kind of cool. I got home. It was a busy day at work, and I was so happy to see. I'm like, wow, look at all these people. They're having a good time. I have to read 140 posts now.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I'm starting to wonder, with that level of activity, if it stays that way, do we want to take stuff that, you know, leave the general channel to just general discussion and maybe move like, hey, what did you think of this book or something into, you know, like a DC or a Marvel or other channels or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, let us know on the Slack channel what you guys think. I thought it was really cool because, you know, it's been so long that it seemed like it was like the same kind of group. We'd have a new person pop up here and there, but it wasn't a lot of new members. So I'm so happy to see new people. We even had a listening member from Sweden join, which I was like, that is awesome.
I thought his comment of, you know, the hours are just enough different that, you know, it's kind of quiet when he's on and, you know, because it's when all of us are asleep or something.
Exactly.
But yeah, I thought that was cool. It's always fun to know when I've got listeners from overseas or whatever, or somewhere that feels exotic.
Exactly. It was so cool. I was like, so anyways, that brought some joy into my life when I got home. I saw this stuff. And I mean, even Mike Myers, he's been posting so many pictures of all of his comics that he's been buying, that I'm like, man, he's buying a lot of stuff, all these back issues.
Oh, yeah. Cool. He's got a huge collection.
Yeah. And it was also good to know, it's because the Year in Spotlight came out, I got some people in trouble for spending too much money on Conan because I keep talking it up. It's great stuff. So, good day.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was cool seeing all the activity there and such. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but where are you going on your trip this time?
I am going to Norway. It's a cruise up the Norway coast, I guess. It's basically chasing the Aurora Borealis.
That's going to be really awesome.
That was something that was on my dad's bucket list as wanting to see, well, he could. So it seemed like sooner was better than later. So yeah, parents and my sister and I are all going. Got cameras and whatnot. Still got some packing to do, and I leave very soon from when we record this.
You have big coats to wear and everything, right?
actually got a parka that's going to meet me on the ship.
Oh, nice, nice. So that's going to be awesome. My wife and I, we wanted to see the Northern Lights, and we did it about, I'm trying to think, it was like 4 or 5 years ago. We flew to Iceland in December.
Mm.
And it was overcast and snowy, rainy the whole time we were there. And the last day it cleared up and we could see the Northern Lights. I was like, thank God.
That's cool. Yeah, it's bummer that it took that long into the trip, but still, it's good that you saw it and stuff.
Yeah, we got to see a lot of other cool things in Iceland, though, so it was really, it was amazing. You have to go there, too, if you get a chance.
Yeah, no, that kind of stuff's on the list, just a matter of finding the time and whatnot.
Exactly.
And for me, sometimes just getting away from the office and whatnot for a while is nice.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. So I'm glad you're getting out there and traveling, and I'm glad that you got your list manageable and you're reading the stuff you like.
Yeah.
And I'm also happy that you're picking things to review that you aren't always buying, that you're kind of being adventurous. You reviewed Conan, and I appreciate that. All us Conan lovers appreciate you for doing mm-hmm. that.
No, happy to do that. Happy to do that. It's good to kind of step out the comfort zone once in a while and do that. For me, though, it's a matter of balancing that with, you know, I was getting a ton of comics, and those were always good to review, too. You know what I mean? Because there's so much stuff out there that if I don't expand and look into, be it a criminal, a Conan, or whatever, I'll miss things like Red Team, Double Tap, Center Mass, and stuff that I really enjoyed, and a few other things that it's just I wouldn't have noticed otherwise.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because there's so much material out there. It's darn near, well, it is impossible to read it all unless you are completely retired and independently wealthy. But that's why I guess it's good to have shows like this and listen to shows like this podcast, because I remember before I was on here, I would listen to you and Drew. This was my favorite podcast. And, you know, if you guys gave something an A, even if it wasn't something I liked, I'd go out and pick it up. I'm like, I got to check this out. It must be good.
Cool. Well, and part of why, you know, it's more than just, hey, we read this and give it a number or whatever. We go into what we liked, what we didn't and stuff is to help listeners calibrate against us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because somebody may hate things I love and love things I hate. So if I give it a bad rating or say it's you know, not for me, but it's good or whatever, they may know, hey, I should check that out.
Yeah, very true. Because there's some people on the forums, our tastes are completely opposite, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then I also really love, I know, you know, we did a different thing for the preview spotlight because of your trip, but I love the preview spotlight because I was posting on the Slack channel today. Eric, you know, he did a pick one time, Eric from Cowabunga Comics, mm-hmm. and he was telling us to check out a manga called Black Torch. I haven't read any manga. I'm like, okay. So I bought it. I'm like, I'll check it out. And I really enjoyed it. I went and I picked up a bunch of old Dark Horse manga because I enjoyed this manga so much.
Cool.
So that your show does get us to spend more and does help the comic book reading community.
Well, and it's not just about spending more, although that certainly helps the industry. It's about spending better.
Yeah, spending better, because if it's garbage, yeah, don't read it.
Because I think the industry is sometimes better off if people, be it myself or others, buy less so they're not burnt out by the time something that they'd really love comes around or something.
And that's the thing I'm trying to keep away from, and that's why I do cuts from time to time, because I'm the person, and I think, and you're the person, if we buy something, we read it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't buy and just have it sitting there just to say, hey, here it is. So when stuff stacks up with me, and I don't know about you, but with me, I start going, oh my gosh, I spent all this money. I can't read it. I don't know what's going on. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to read stuff, and it becomes a little bit stressful because I'm just trying to plow through and I don't absorb it. And when I get it down to what I really enjoy, I really enjoy comics so much more.
For me, it's a matter of I read comics as escapist entertainment, and if I'm not reading it and I'm letting it stack up and stuff, I feel like I've let myself down for not having enough kind of me time or whatever.
Very true. Very true.
So, you know, it's what I do to relax and to enjoy. And that's, I think, part of my frustration, particularly with DC these days, is I want to kind of go back and visit this world I've known for 20, 30, 40 years or whatever. But it's not that world anymore. You know, it's unclear to me.
They've changed it on you.
Yeah, it's unclear to me which Superman, Superboy, Flash, Impulse, Robin, whatever, are we dealing with, and what is their backstory today?
Yeah.
And if they don't care that much about it, should I?
Yeah, and I know exactly where you're coming from, because if I break it down to, if I got back into comics, because I periodically had gone out. Let's say I got back into comics in the 2016-2017 phase, and Marvel was my bread and butter, you know? Mm-hmm. And I came back, and Thor's a woman, and I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't read the story. And I'd be like, okay, Thor's a woman, Captain America's a bad guy, he's a Nazi, and the Hulk is now an Asian kid named Amadeus Cho. I would just be like, I'm out. I probably wouldn't have come back. I've been done. And it just happened that those stories all popped up at the same time. I don't think it was like editors were forcing them to do this, you know, but Greg Pak was passionate about this character, Amadeus Cho, and wrote his own story. You know, they each did their own thing. It just happened to happen at the same time. So I think that's happening right now with DC. I think they've changed too many of the things to where it's frustrating to you.
Well, and it's not just too many of the things, but they seem to be going in almost mutually exclusive directions at times, with going back old school to a degree with Hawkman, and then in other cases trying to chart bold new directions, be it with the Titans or Teen Titans, and then they establish some characters only to kick them to the curb so they can bring back older versions of the character.
Yeah, which makes no sense.
It lacks a cohesiveness or grand design. And I think one of the things Marvel has excelled at over the years through different people, be it originally Stan Lee or later on with people like Mark Grunwald, or even perhaps more recently with like a Tom Brevoort or somebody, you've got somebody that can kind of keep the narrative universe cohesive enough,
yeah,
that it feels real and feels like you're getting a window into that world, not getting an artificial story with a beginning, middle, and end.
That makes sense. And I see exactly what you're talking about. That makes complete sense. Now, not to you know, take you off the beaten path too much, but you know, all the changes we're seeing with the characters at DC, have you read the Aquaman, now that he's lost his memory and stuff like that? Kelly Sue DeConnick is writing it now.
I think the first issue of that came out, so I must have read it. When did that one come out?
I think the second issue of that, Kelly Sue DeConnick, has to be coming out probably in the next shipment or two. But yeah, I think only the first one. Did that rub you the wrong way, or is it okay for you so far? I don't know if you remember. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Honestly, I don't remember it, so that...
Well, that's a glowing review.
A glowing review right there. But that may just be my wonderful memory and such.
Yeah, that's how I am sometimes.
This is why not only do I rate things, I write down the ratings.
Smart man.
And when did that issue come out?
Oh gosh, now I don't know. I'm gonna look for it now. Aquaman. I'm going online.
Filtering the
43, Kelly Sue DeConnick. It came out December 19th, so it was, yeah, the next issue should be out probably next week's shipment.
Because I'm not sure I got the next issue pre-ordered.
Also, okay, so that one, it was just, I wouldn't say it was bad. I wouldn't say it was good, but it was just like kind of weird that now we have two amnesiac characters at the same time.
At DC, if you go to Marvel, there's one there too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I gave it a C+, which is what I'd give the Drowned Earth stuff to.
Ah, C+. Okay, so you don't feel like they've made it better.
No, I do not.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way right now. I'm kind of like, it didn't offend me yet, but at the same time, it didn't hook me. I remember I was just like, it's okay, and that's where I was. And I'm like, I kind of miss Dan Abnett.
Yeah, it was one of those things that nothing made me think, wow, I've really got to be getting that. So yeah, it's currently off my list.
So you will not be getting future issues of it.
Until something changes and somebody says, hey, I should go pick that up.
All right. Well, if I read it and he gets his memory back and it seems cool, I'll let you know.
Or even if he doesn't get his memory back, but it seems really good.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good.
But if they've forgotten about Aquaman, why can't I?
Yeah, but you know, that speaks volumes. When I really sit there and I think about what do I want to cut from my list, if I can't remember what in the heck happened in an issue that I read maybe a week or two ago, that's not a glowing review. It's not memorable.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It's like, okay, why am I reading this if it's not even going to stick? It's not impactful at all.
What I typically do on nights like tonight when we record these episodes is as I'm driving home from work, I try to, you know, organize my thoughts, so to speak. And I say that in terms of I've already got notes. I know what I'm going to talk about, what my talking points are, whether I hit them or not, in what order, whatever. It's as we have the conversation. But as I drive home, I'm like, okay, what do I want to talk about on the DC book, the Marvel book, the other book? And the first question is, what was that DC book again? And there are times it's like, yep, it's Young Justice. I remember it. Man, that was really good. I do want to mention this or what about that and stuff like that. And sometimes there's one it's like, what was that Marvel book again? And that doesn't mean it's a bad one, but it just doesn't jump out in my memory.
No, that's happened to me before. I'm like, oh yeah. Well, and sometimes when there's too many characters, I'm like, who's that character? The one that looks like this or the one that's green? You know, I'm like, I can't, when there's too many characters. But I know exactly what you mean as far as the title. It's not that memorable. I've reviewed it. I've written notes on this thing, and what in the heck is the title again? Oh yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes it's because they rotate the titles, they're interchangeable or something like that, that it makes it a little hard. But it's one of those things that, you know, I can, and I'm trying to find the exact issue. I can point to the issue that made me think, you know, I really do need to take some notes or whatnot, because I'd read 1 week's books, and this was many, many years ago. It was an issue of Iron Man, and I'd read it early in the week, and this was back when I was recording on Saturday mornings.
Okay.
And by the time I got around to reviewing it Saturday, I could, because I'd read it on like the Monday or something like that, I could remember having read it. But I really couldn't remember anything specific about it.
That's pretty bad.
And it was an okay issue. It wasn't so bad that it's like, oh yeah, this was horrible because this, that, and the other. And it wasn't so good that it was great because of this, that, and the other.
It was just that filler middle ground.
It just kind of was.
It was there, and actually that's more damning a statement than saying it was really bad or it was really great, because when it's really bad, you can really say this is the reason why it's bad and nobody should read this comic. But when it's forgettable, I think that's almost even worse, you know?
Well, yeah, because when I am getting ready to read a book, there are going to be some where it's like, you know what, I'm probably going to end up giving this a good review just because I like the writer, the property, or whatever.
Yeah.
There are a couple others, it's like, yeah, we're going to review this, and yeah, I'm probably not going to give it a glowing review. Maybe it'll win me over, but it sometimes has a little bit of an uphill battle to get through just because I'm curious where this train wreck is going in one or two cases. Not often. I try to pick stuff that I think I'll give a favorable review to, because that's frankly more fun.
Exactly.
But it's one of those things that there are some books I like it fine. I just don't have much to talk about. Others, I could probably talk for days on. And I think, and I could be wrong on this, I think it was Invincible Iron Man number 14 from Weekly Comics Spotlight number 97.
Wow.
Where I was thinking, this was an average book. I read it. Off the top of my head, I don't remember. And that's why I always try to have the comics handy, be able to flip through it, that kind of stuff, as I'm talking on the episodes.
That makes sense. I do the same thing. I have it there and I flip through it as we're talking. And yeah, that way we don't look like morons when we're recording this thing.
Yeah, it sucks to say, okay, well, what do you think? I think I read it.
Don't remember if it was good or not, but I wrote a letter grade down here.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I read comics differently for review than just for entertainment.
I do, too.
And I rate them differently because I'll give it a bit more thought and I'll equivocate a little bit more or whatever on something I'm reviewing, whereas when I'm done reading for entertainment, it's like, that was a B-, let's move on.
Yeah. I will say that most of the time when we review things, not always, you know, because there's things I really don't like, but because I went in-depth with the comic a little bit more, it hooks me more for the next issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, a good thing, but it gets me to spend more money ultimately, so good and bad.
There is the risk.
Yes.
But for me, it's a matter of if I don't like a comic, being able to articulate why.
Yes.
If I do like one, being able to articulate why. And the really hard part is if it just doesn't move me, can I figure out why?
That's been the hardest thing for me because, like, for example, I know you don't like Conan. You know I'm not a Power Rangers fan. And that's fine for both ways. But at the same time, I have to be able to read Power Rangers when you want to do a review of that and say, okay, I don't like the property or this isn't something I would read, but it's written well and here's some cool things that happen.
Boom. It's being able to differentiate the subjective of did I like it or not from the more objective is this well done or not from the average person's point of view.
Exactly.
You know, and for me, there are a lot of things that I may not like, but that also doesn't mean I dislike them.
Yeah. And you're making me a better reader by being on this show.
Good. Hopefully people are being better readers just by listening, too.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, and if there are questions they want us to answer about books or whatever, of what do we think about this, that, or the other, by all means, they should chime in both on the forum, the Slack channel, etc., to let us know. Because, I mean, the main reason we're doing these reviews is to help people decide how to best spend their money on comics.
I agree. Hey, more comments on the Slack channel, people. We love it. And on the forums.
Absolutely. So let's see. Coming up, we've got Preview Spotlight number 136 for the February previews. The deadline for that is going to be Saturday morning, February 9th. That's bright and early that morning, or at least as bright and early as I get up. A regular format of a clip per pick. So you see four things you like in preview, send in four clips. We'll play them in the order they would show up if you were just flipping through previews. Again, as I'm cutting back and stuff, I find it really helpful if people say, you know, hey, you should check this out because...
Yeah. Hey, one thing I was going to mention, because we're talking about the preview spotlight, for the first time ever inside the previews, there was a digital code that came in. Did you see that?
I have not even opened up the previews yet.
Okay. I just opened mine yesterday. So in the middle or near the front, there was like a little digital thing. So if any of you guys, if previews is an issue and maybe you can't afford it, I don't know. I think everyone should get it. It's great. But if you want my digital copy, if that's not pirating, I don't think it is. I'll send
I'm
it to you.
I'm not sure, but yeah.
I'm willing to share it, so that way you guys can look at it and send in a clip. If you don't like the digital things, I can send you that and you can get a PDF.
And if nothing else, they've got text versions of the solicits on the Previews World website. So, yeah.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
No, by all means, that's worth doing because not everyone can either afford or justify the cost of previews, and I get that, but I think it's a great thing.
So, free one from James, just let me know.
And then the comic book teleconference for February is going to be February 16th, 7 p.m. Central Time on that Saturday. That's always about a week after the deadline for the preview spotlight. For January, of course, I think by the time this goes up, they would have passed, but we'd already done the why do you get what you get for the January preview spotlight, and we're not doing a teleconference because, well, I'm traveling, so there's that.
Yes.
So anything else, or does that do it?
The only thing I would say is enjoy your trip, my friend.
That is the plan. Join us next time as we discuss the first round of titles from TKO Studios with Sarah number one, Goodnight Paradise number one, Fearsome Dr. Fang number one, and Seven Deadly Sins number one.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.